So, last week we began a new item in our services. Come and sit, please. A new item in our services. We're at the end of each service, we're going to kind of start doing a quick Bible study. And when I say Bible study, I mean topical study, I suppose. No more than 5 minutes. And last week, if you recall, we talked a little bit about the history of the world, at least within the church, up until the time of Martin Luther. If, by the way, that you're looking for these, if you missed one and you want a copy of it, I do write them all down. I manuscript everything that I preach in this way or teach in this way, because otherwise I tend to rabbit trail. So if you'd like a copy at some point, if you missed one and you want to get it, come and find me and I'd be happy to get that for you. So let's begin our study this week. Last week we talked a bit about church history. Remember that the church of God on earth was broken, split between the East and the West. And while they wanted a unified church, it wasn't in the cards. Abuses of the church began to run rampant because no one was there to be the checks and balances. And Martin Luther was then born into these abuses. There were many. The teachings of the Roman Catholic Church, the church that dominates even still today the Western world, they're well known to us, I think, as Lutherans, but we'll talk about a few of them. The people of the Roman Church would seek after the relics of the saints, the tokens of their lives, or at least that's what they pretended to be. These people would pay to have sins forgiven. They'd pay to have a mass said in their name and think then that the forgiveness of sins would come even if they weren't there. They would pray to the saints. The Pope was infallible when he would speak from his chair. There were and there are still many errors in the Roman Church. But the worst of them is this. God is angry at you for your sin, and you must purge the sins from your life. Otherwise, he'll do it for you in the fires of purgatory. That was the worst for Luther. As a monk, he couldn't get over the fact that he knew God was angry at him. He confessed his sins so often, trying to rack even the corners of his mind to find the least of his sins so that there was nothing that would pass from God's forgiveness. He would get so minute in all of the details of his sinful life that his father confessor looked at him one day and said, "Come back when you have something interesting." But for all of the times that Luther worked himself into a frenzy, he could never escape the feeling that God hated him. Luther was born in 1483. This was a turbulent time, not even just in the church, but really the entire world. The Turks, and we would call them today Muslims, had just conquered the city of Constantinople, once the jewel city of the Eastern Church in Turkey. And they were marching across Europe with their sights on everyone submitting to Allah or dying. And honestly, people didn't know if they would wake up in the middle of the night with a Turkish scimitar at their throats or not. The Spanish Inquisition was occurring, where people would be killed or exiled if their beliefs didn't fall within Catholic dogma. But there was also hope and excitement in that time. In 9 short years, Columbus would reach the Americas. Books and pamphlets, and when I say pamphlets, I don't just mean the trifold pamphlets that we look at today, but pamphlets that actually kind of explain something. These were available and all over the place due to the invention of the movable type printing press. And the art of the Renaissance was about to kick off. That was Luther's world. He was born to Hans and Margareta, a mining family, who expected more from their son than what they had for themselves. The intention was always was for Luther to go off and be a lawyer so that he could make enough money and come back and support his siblings as well as his parents as they would age. And his upbringing was fairly inauspicious. There was nothing to report, really. He seemed to always have some type of sharp mind. And when he realized after entering the university that the law wasn't going to be for him, he just kind of academically wandered around. But in 1505, an event, and I think we all know this event, would happen that would focus his mind and his heart so sharply that there would be no turning back. He was making his way back to school after visiting his home, and he was stuck in a thunderstorm that shook his soul as much as the trees. And as lightning struck around him, he cried out to Saint Anne that if she would help him, he would become a monk. And the storm soon went away. And Luther looked upon that promise as something that could never break. It was for life. Now, that incredibly disappointed his parents. In fact, it seems that it was nearer to his father's death that he and Luther were able to reconcile. Hans looked upon Luther as a disobedient son, abandoning the commandment of God to honor his parents for his own selfish reasons, that ability to get closer to heaven through religious obedience. And I think this helps explain how Luther saw God in the beginning. His father despised him, it seemed, for abandoning him. And Luther was learning, rightly so, by the way, that all sin is an abandoning of God. And so if his father hated him, how much more so did God hate him, the holy and righteous God? Yet Luther still became a monk in 1506. He was made a priest in 1507, and after that he began to study theology. I know that seems a little bit different than what we're used to, the opposite way. But if you think about it, it makes sense. The priest, when leading the Mass, never needed to say anything other than what the Mass said. And it was in Latin, by the way. It didn't matter if he or anyone else understood it. It just had to be said. But as Luther began to study theology, he began to get more and more worried with that idea, and many others. He started to realize, even as his conscience was plagued with sin, that things were not quite right. And the weight of it all began to kill him, literally. Actually, today, many doctors and professionals look back and they believe that Luther's later health problems that he had in his old age would be because of the conditions of his monastic days. He would go outside and freeze himself wearing no clothing. He would whip his back, trying to beat his sin out of him. He would scream in agony for hours. He would punish his body in any way imaginable, all in order to try to bring his flesh into submission to the Word of God. This is how tortured he was by sin. In one way, it's almost admirable, because he realized the depth of his depravity. Would that we all realize that. But because the freedom of the gospel was not to be found, Luther suffered alone all the more. And there we'll end our study for this week. We'll pick it up again next week, looking at what Luther went through after his being brought into the monastic orders. Is there anything else out there for the sake of Christ and his church? Then let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank and praise you for feeding us the life-giving body and blood of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit, that having with our mouths received your holy sacrament, we may by faith obtain and eternally enjoy your divine grace, the forgiveness of sins, unity with Christ, and life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in his peace.